We are here with the Honorable Deputy Governor of Lagos State, and this is an interview for Innovations for Successful Societies at Princeton University. Perhaps we could begin with what you see as the work that you have been doing here that has been most successful, that has been able to make changes where it was not possible before, perhaps some of the programs you are most proud of.
Well, I will start by introducing myself properly.
Sure.
That my name is Princess Sarah Adebisi Chuson, Deputy Governor, Lagos State. I assumed this office on 27th May, 29th May, 2007, as the deputy to His Excellency, Mr. Babatunde Raju Fashola, the executive governor of this great state. When we came in, we already have our program of what and what we want to do. This focused specifically on making the roads better, improving transportation, improving health care, improving education, and so on and so forth. Improving lives of people, which we say poverty alleviation. At the onset of the administration, I happen to be in charge of education development in the states. And that is precisely the Ministry of Education. The past administration has tried a lot to put our schools in good shape, but yet we still have a lot of challenges in this area. Lagos State being a metropolitan state, being a state of over 18 million people, being a state where everybody from 36 states of the country are concentrated in, and being a state where we run free education program. Free in the sense that from the nursery, primary, junior secondary, senior secondary, you access free education. We felt to improve on these aspects, our schools have to be like a home to the students, to the pupils. So we have to start improving on the infrastructure of these schools, as well as providing schools in remote areas where there are no schools. This has led to the increase in pupils' enrollment in most areas of the state. In doing this as well, it has helped us in increasing the economic capacity of most people involved in rehabilitation of these schools, in supply of furniture to the schools, painting industry. A lot of skilled manpower had been developed through these rehabilitation works we've been doing in most of our schools. We now discover that most of our students, due to economic situation of parents, they do not have textbooks. The state governments, with the magnanimity of His Excellency the Governor, procured books for all this level of education for the over 1 million pupils and students we have in our public schools. We have 1,610 primary and secondary schools right now in the states. So we provided books for all the students in 5 core areas. That is English, mathematics, the sciences, economics, irrespective of your background, free. Apart from that, even our teachers, for them to use this book effectively, We've done a lot of training packages for them. We have increased what the number used to be. For last year, almost 10,000 teachers were trained and retrained. And this is an ongoing thing. You keep them because we felt that it's when they know they have the quality that they give it back to the students. Apart from this, the examinations the final year students pay, they sit for, like you have your GCO level and so on, we have West African Examination, West African School Certificate Examination. We pay for all this. Because over the years, we discovered that many parents cannot pay at the terminal, point for their children. So the state government pays for these YFPs for almost 60,000 students yearly. Likewise, for the terminal, we have at the middle level education, that is JS3. We also pay for their examinations as well. We have even improved on equipping our science laboratories. We are refocusing on that area. Most of our secondary schools do not have laboratories. We had really worked on that area as well. We have done them in phases, and very soon we are completing the remaining. We have about 100 schools left to equip out of 300 and something. And science teachers are being retrained as well. We train them. Apart from that, we have what we call all over the world Girl Scouts, yes. Boy Scouts, the uniformed voluntary clubs. There are all clubs all over the world that values are taught. Leadership skills are taught. Team spirit and so on and so forth. For some time now, the membership of these clubs has decreased in our schools. So recently we relaunched these societies. It was so exciting. And the state government provided uniforms for all the students that participated, and even teachers, since the teachers will be the ones to supervise, to oversee these clubs in the schools. And it is mandatory that each student should belong to one club at least. Apart from that, we have special schools that cater for the challenged students. As part of our policy to integrate the physically challenged students, we have units in our regular schools where they can mix with the others. We call them inclusive units, as part of the formal regular system. Now we now have special schools on their own, especially those who have increased challenge of physical abilities. We have some special schools that we have to re-equip, we have to rehabilitate, and we also provided transportation by providing buses for them to take them around. Because we saw that as a challenge to most parents, they keep those children at home because there are no means of transport. There is no means of the financial capacity is not there. We do this and we feed them. The children in the special schools are all fed. As well as those in the inclusive units of the regular schools, we feed them as well. In the technical vocational area, we felt that these days, skilled manpower is a challenge even all over the world. And we have some technical colleges where we produce students that are specialized in vocational aspects, like learning carpentry, mechanical engineering, welding, bricklaying, We have now re-engineered all these technical colleges by rehabilitating them, by providing additional equipment for them. And even the schools, the teacher said for some years that they have never had the opportunity for training. That we have done for all the teachers in all these technical colleges. Right now, we are even partnering with some colleges abroad to bring in their expertise to teach our students in these schools. So we are working at that area also to improve on technical skills. In sporting area, we see education as a total thing. When you give children opportunity to express themselves in sporting activities, when you give them opportunity to express their social life, the exhibition of attitudes are different. We give opportunity for all that through debates, through a lot of interaction, through talent hunts. We do all that. And we do that through football. We have competitions, we call that Principal's Cup, where all the secondary schools compete. And the best winner, the winner is always rewarded a lot with a lot of cash prizes and some equipment for their school as well. And we introduced female soccer as well into our secondary schools to encourage most of those female interested in soccer. Apart from that, there are some other athletic and also other areas that are involved that we are encouraging. We make sure that annually each school should hold an inter-art sports activity to give opportunities for all of them to compete and showcase their skills. That the Ministry of, we collaborate, the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Sports Development collaborate to do this for the children. We encourage our children also to go into a lot of competitions, even outside the states. And in sciences, they've always been coming tops in sciences. We have one program we call Spelling Bee program. This is one annual program that a lot of students and even parents look forward to. We hold the elimination series at the district level, that is the local level. Then at the state level, we now do the grand finale. From the name, you will know Spelling Bee, spelling difficulties. It involves a lot of hard work and seriousness from those students. And the winner of this competition becomes a governor for one day. Yes. The winner on an appointed date will come to our ESCO meetings, the Executive Council's meeting, sit on the governor's chair, and deliberate over issues for some, maybe 1 hour. At the ESCO as the governor for that day. So it's been so exciting. And we always reward them also with exchange programs. Over the years, they've been going to Finland and some other countries, Dubai, for an exchange program. And we've added another reward to that by offering them even scholarship after their secondary schools. So I think some other areas that we've done so well, apart from the textbooks, improvement in teachers' welfare as well. Sure. Teachers have never had it so good. In our states, we pay them promptly. And we give them opportunities to attend most programs than it is done in other states. So we never had problems with them, except if it's a national thing. Our teachers are very happy with what they've been doing with us. And in taking decisions, we don't do it in isolation. We encourage private contribution, especially private providers of education. Just recently, we had our education summit where everybody in the society we are invited to come and give us, contribute to how we can improve more on access to quality education and also funding, because funding is a great issue in education. No matter what you the fund you have, it can never be enough. And here in Lagos, we have the number of schools, I told you, over 1,000 schools. And we want it to be a place where children will be happy attending. So the Education Summit we just concluded, and part of the communique are things we will adopt to help us move education forward in the states. And like I said, we used to train and retrain our teachers, because without the teachers that would drive the teaching learning in the classroom, if we don't do it well, then we don't get good results. So we reward them annually as well. We call that merit award program. Since we came on board, it has never happened before. The best teacher, we award, we give a car, a vehicle to that best teacher, so that it will motivate others to want to do your best, be resourceful, do your best to get teaching learning across to your students without too much stress. And we encourage our teachers to even look inward in providing instructional materials, and they don't teach abstract. Look inwards, old calendars and things around you can be used in the classroom. And we have a resource center, educational resource center. You want to make materials to enhance your teaching, you go there. The materials are there, the instructors are there to teach you, to assist you on what to do. So we do all that as well for our teachers.
When you think back to the beginning of your term here, what were the you had grand plans for the education sector? What was the process like to begin to build the political coalition to get this through? I mean, obviously there are a lot of difficult choices that had to be made.
Yes, when we came in, like I said, there were a lot of challenges, especially having to do with infrastructure of the schools. And we knew what we wanted immediately. And we felt to do this, the funding in previous years was increased. In previous years, a ratio about 50%.
Of the total budget?
Yes. Not of the total budget. I mean, what is allocated to education in previous years? We had to add more to it. There was an increase, a large increase to what is allocated to education. So that has helped us in doing most of these things. But nevertheless, funding is still a challenge to us. Even with the increase, it's still very difficult to us to provide all those things we wanted. As a result of that, we said, we can't just fold our arms and say, by the time we utilize what we have, let's find other ways of getting funding, because it's the greatest challenge. If you want quality things, you want best things, it costs money. So we now put up an initiative where we call Support Our Schools. This has been in place previously. It was another name, Adopt a School. But the response wasn't so encouraging for the previous years. But when we came on board now, with proper planning and focus, the response has been encouraging, because the transparency is there. You come in, we give you a list of the things you can do to assist our school. Whether you want to rebuild a school, whether you want to equip a laboratory, whether you want to put up a library, we give you the specification, you go ahead, you go into the school to do it yourself. We just supervise to see that you do the right thing. So it has been an open thing, and we've made use of the ICT by going online, let people see what our needs are. Let people know who to come to. There is an officer in charge of that. So that has really made it so encouraging. And very soon, those people that has really assisted us, we are going to do a sort of recognition and thank you kind of program for them. And we use that opportunity to welcome even people in diaspora to assist us in the educational sector. Because education for all is the responsibility of all. We must get educated. We must provide education, especially as 80% of children in public schools, they are from the poor homes. The middle class and the upper class attend highbrow private schools. And these ones are formed the majority of the population. If we don't educate them, it's a big problem to the society. So,
How did you go about, was it easy to convince people that there needed to be a large increase in funding at the beginning?
It wasn't easy, but people see that the kind of government we have in place in Lagos State is a government to be trusted. It's a government of people with integrity. Government of people that have the passion, that have the commitment. They voluntarily they come up to say, we want to do this for you, we want to do this. I receive a lot of letters that we want to do some schools in one of areas in Ikeja that they just commissioned. So a lot of them have been coming in willingly because they see the openness there. You do it yourself thing. If you want us to do it, we do it with you. You see everything because they believe in us. They can see that even the taxpayers' money is being put to judicious use by the state government. From the leadership down, the team, that the commitments and the passion that we've been using. As a woman, I'm here. I work till late into the night. I work over the weekend. You can call me anytime you get me. The leadership has put in there every number of all members. Our local government is out there, so you can access us. I think that has endeared people to us that this is a serious government that must be given that support. Though it's not yet enough, the funding is not enough, but at least they can trust us that we are doing our own best, the little bit we can do with available funds. So they are ready also to partner with us to say, we do this with you too.
Yeah. What about the increasing the budget with the legislature? Was that a difficult process?
Like I said, even the government itself is part of our 10-point agenda. Infrastructure, education, water provision, and so on. So it wasn't a difficult because for allocation of funds, to budget for it, you have to see, look at what comes in, what we can generate generally. So you have to look into that and see how you want to aggregate. And you know, these are social services. Healthcare is also there. People, they need to. We are in that part of the world where we still have to improve, provide a lot of health care for our people. So that's one area that takes large chunk of money as well. And education as well is also a social service that needs a large chunk. Then we need to move on the roads to make commercial activities, economic activity of the states. All these rotate trams, there have been an increase compared to previous years in the money allocated to education in this state.
Why do you think it was possible now and not before? And people presumably before knew that that education should be a priority. Why has it been possible to get this done now and not?
Not that it was impossible. Not that people never knew that education is a necessary thing. But the fact was that people then, they believe that to get to the people in charge, then that it was not easy. Unlike now, that they can access people like me, they can access officers that are in charge. So that's a big difference. The openness of how we do things now, that has been a great change from what used to happen before. Even at the offices, there have been a sort of restructuring. That means departments that are in charge as well. You reassess people handling issues that has to do with public, and you want to put in capable officers. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So I think that's another big area. And you know, I'm sure you are aware that democracy just recently came back to this country in 1999. And we really suffered under the military administration then. No attention was paid, and everything had collapsed. And education really suffered. All schools almost on near collapse, teachers not being paid, a lot of things. So the rebuilding has been a gradual process.
Yeah.
That even when you spend billions, you don't see it manifest in time. So we are still building it up.
How did you go about convincing people that this was a government that could be trusted? That sounds like a very tall order to go about.
Mm-hmm.
What was the plan to convince people, voters, as well as other parts of civil society?
You see, yeah, it's come. You see, people, you tell them, I'm doing this. They want to see it. That we have been able to prove in the States, that we want to do this. This is our budget. This is what we spend the budget on. So you go around, you see the manifestation. You want to see a lot of roads that have been completed. You want to see a lot of changes that are taking place. You see schools that have been rebuilt, that have been rehabilitated. You see the books, you see the physical thing. I think that is convincing enough for anybody.
Yeah.
Even you see payment of tax, which is the area where government generates funds, mostly in all civilized world. A lot of government, that is what helps them in funding their programs as a government. The reluctance to pay then is going down. People are not responding because they see their money, they see it. You see taxpayers' money in action.
Yeah.
Taxpayers' money in action. You see roads that have been built. You see buses that have been provided. Even most of the schools. You go in there, you say, this was the school. This school, so this school can be like this. So they see the physical manifestation. So that's at giving them that to trust us.
Was that part what in the early discussions about what the general plan, what the general plan for governance would be? Was that part of the discussion to say, look, we've got to get some things that are very visible that people can see?
Sure. You mean during when we were going around to say, vote us in?
Yeah.
You will not be disappointed, yes.
And when you began to formulate the plan for governing, right?
Yeah.
Right when you came in, part of the plan was...
You know, before you come in, like a democratic government, there are things you want to tell your people that we are going to do or we are going to improve on. So, and these are the areas. See, we continue with our free primary, with our free education, and we even provide the quality, not just education. We make roads for you. We provide water for you. You will access free health care. And you now see all these things that we say, we said it, and we are doing it. out of 4 years, within 2 years, you've seen all those things manifested. I think the people have said, yes, you said it. You have walked the talk.
Yeah.
It's all over. Hospital's been built. Maternal and children hospital, they have never been there. It's all over the state, they are going on and well equipped. Our general hospital has been acclaimed to be the best because of the kind of equipment that are there and the kind of doctors that we have there. People are coming in. We even recruit over there for people to come and handle all this and give the best health care.
Well, I've taken up a lot of your time. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
And we need people to know what we are doing.
Yes.
So that we continue to get support.
Yes.
For us. So we welcome ideas on how to even do it more than what we are doing. We are very lucky to have a leader that is young, dynamic, committed, and focused.
Yeah.
It has really helped our government. And the people of Lagos, they are very happy, excited that they have not made a mistake in choosing me as the governor to lead. That they have not made a mistake in choosing all of us to work with him as well.
Well, thank you very much.
I want to thank you very much, and I hope it will be useful for your studies.
I'm sure.